Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 7, Episode 98. I'm Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com and sitting in for my co-host, David Todd, who is at opening day at PNC Park for the Pirates' home opener against the Atlanta Braves, is Alex Cazorra once again. Alex, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Dave. Cold one today. David Todd better have a sweater or something. It's going to be a little cold at PNC.
Boy, it looked like some of those pictures on the Twitter machine that some snow flurries are around there and all. And it's supposed to be April, I thought. It's going to be 80s out here in Las Vegas today.
So, lucky you.
So I hate to rub it in there. But, yeah, let's get after it. We got, you know, quite a bit has happened, actually, since we last talked. On Monday, and I guess a good place to start as any would be the, you know, the pre-draft. Well, you know, let's pick it up from kind of where we left off on Friday, talking about, it's funny how we talk about some of these things on one show, and the very next show we get some questions answered. And, you know, we were talking about the LSU Pro Day coming up and wondering if Mike Tomlin or Kevin Colbert would be there. I had a good idea that Mike Tomlin would probably be there. It seems like LSU is, you know, probably not an every year stop for him. I'd have to go back and look at the records, but I think it's very rarely that he misses that pro day. Well, it turns out he was indeed there, as was Carnell Lake, and as was Kevin Colbert as well. So, you know, we talk about connecting these dots all the time, you know, about past history and, you know, when it comes to the Steelers' first-round draft pick and how Colbert needs to be generally, we think, at a pro day. Well, that's another one that we can now add to the list. And, you know, some quite interesting prospects there at the LSU Pro Day. A couple of first-round, you know, players for sure in safety Jamal Adams and Tre'Davious White, who we talked about on the last show. So, you know, what's your thoughts about Colbert, Tomlin, and Lake all showing up at LSU?
Yeah, certainly you perk up your ears anytime you see kind of the big three coming in. You know, we talk about Trey White bringing in Carnell Lake. You know, I haven't been a fan of kind of how smush the combine and pro day process has been, but for LSU, the good thing was they were basically the last big pro day on the docket. So it was an opportunity for Tomlin and Colbert after league meetings and all that to be able to come in. So it certainly, I think, puts Trey White in the conversation, talking about some sleepers, some guys that aren't traditionally mocked and talked about to Pittsburgh. I think that's a guy who needs to be in the conversation because I think he has a chance, and not a lot of guys do, but he has a chance to be a day one starter in the slot, and he has the versatility to play outside or inside. He's a great athlete. He's got great feet. I think he was a four-year starter at LSU. You know, you talked about him a lot the last couple of days, and he really hits every baseline box that you're looking for in a Steelers first-round selection.
You're doing that series right now where, you know, what do the Steelers look for? And I know I always look forward to that since you started it, I think, a few years ago, and you've already done the wide receivers. Do you have enough data on the cornerbacks yet to kind of tease folks?
I haven't. I don't know if I've even really started with cornerbacks yet. I might start this weekend, but I'm going to take a guess and say White has a good chance to fit. And even if he doesn't fit perfectly, what we know, you know, otherwise, Power 5, good athlete, you know, good 40, with a lot of starting experience and Tomlin Colbert being there. I think even if he doesn't fit that, he'd still feel comfortable about linking him to Pittsburgh because of everything else.
Yeah, it'll now be interesting while it doesn't need to happen. Based on previous drafts and all, you know, it'd be interesting to see if White is one of these guys brought in for a pre-draft visit. Now, obviously, he He was a senior, so the Steelers talked to him at the pro. At the Senior Bowl. Obviously, and White admitted during his combine interview that he had a meeting with the Steelers while he was there. So, I guess it's not a big deal if he doesn't come to Pittsburgh for a pre-draft visit, right?
Absolutely. To piggyback off what you said, the last two first-round picks for Pittsburgh have not been brought in, Bud Dupree and Artie Burns. They were at the pro days. They met and dined and wined at the pro day. So sometimes you don't bring those guys in because you're already completely comfortable with the player they are. And whenever you have a well-known guy like Trey White, who people thought was going to come out of the draft last year, so you had scouts already looking at him in that pre-draft process before he ultimately returned. When you've had junior pro day numbers, whenever he's got a wide body of work, and then you talk to him at the LSU pro day, there isn't necessarily a big motivation to bring him into Pittsburgh. I mean, if they could, that would just be more evidence. But if he isn't, I wouldn't be alarmed by it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now that the pro days are pretty much wrapped up, the pre-draft visitors are continuing on this month. We've had quite a few of them since we last talked, and I think starting with, when was it, Tuesday, I think. We have Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback out of Texas Tech, came in. Joshua Dobbs, the quarterback out of Tennessee. Kenny Golladay, a wide receiver out of Northern Illinois. Josh Reynolds, a wide receiver out of Texas A&M. Now, what's interesting is you put up that list of wide receivers that kind of fit the criteria from past drafts and all. And I believe Reynolds was on that list. Did Golladay make it?
Golladay was one of the five to hit every single benchmark, and I forget there were like eight of them. So he hit everyone. Reynolds hit everyone but the bench. I don't know if he even did the bench. If he did, he would have just missed the reps. So basically both of them hit almost all the criteria.
Now, I've seen enough of Reynolds I haven't gone in depth with him, but seen enough of him where, this looks like a bona fide fourth or fifth round guy, right?
I think it could be higher, to be honest. Some people are even higher on him and think he's a top five receiver in this class. Some people, of course, are going to be lower, but I could see him as a day three pick. You just talk about a long vertical threat, dynamic playmaker who can make difficult catches. His hands can be inconsistent, but he can make some really tough grabs outside the framework of his body. And he's a guy that runs well, that can, again, be that person that can take the top off the defense, even if he's not a 4-4 flat kind of guy. I think he's about a 4-5 guy is what he tested. I don't think he's going to be there in the fifth round, to be honest. I think he goes in like the third round or something like that.
And what do you know about Golladay?
Not a ton. Josh Carney just did the report on him today, which went up on Steelers Depot this morning, so go check that out. I actually have barely gotten to look at it. I put it together the other day. But another big guy who ran well, I think he ran exactly 4-5 flat. The Steelers have their type with their Z receivers. They want that height. They want that speed. They want a vertical ability. You look at Martavis Bryant, you look at Sammy Coates, you look at Justin Hunter, who they signed, of course, you look at DHB, who they brought in a couple of years ago. All those guys are fast, vertical threats with good size. So they're pretty predictable in the receiver they look for because they have their X receiver in Antonio Brown. You don't have to do a whole lot of soul searching there. But the Z receiver, they have that kind of type that they look for. And so it's no surprise to see Golladay and Reynolds, be candidates.
What are your thoughts on Mahomes and Dobbs coming in?
I don't know, Dave. I don't know what to think of it. I'm not trying to talk myself out of the notion the Steelers could take a quarterback because they absolutely could. But, I did write about the next day after that news came in that this could still all be part of the dry run for Tomlin because, it's funny. Tomlin's never had to do this before. He's never had to search for a franchise quarterback. He came in, he inherited one, which is so rare for a head coach to do, to have a bona fide franchise quarterback to not have to worry about for 10 years. So this is like the last thing that Tomlin and Colbert have ever had to do together is search and begin the process and refine the process of how to find a franchise quarterback. So, maybe this is part of it because I don't know if you saw the last quarterback they brought in for a pre-draft visit, like a true quarterback, not a hybrid Tyler Murphy type, was Nate Davis in 2009. So They just never been down this road before. And Tomlin's talked about going through a dry run before. And maybe this is all part of it. Or maybe I'm crazy and this is the year they take a quarterback.
Man, I think there's enough writing on the wall right now. Of course, a part of me is hoping that they just shy away from the position altogether. But I guess Dobbs we could qualify as maybe being what, a fourth, fifth round guy.
I think fourth round is the maybe the lowest he'll go because one, the nature of the position; two, the class isn't very good. I think Dobbs is gonna. You know, Dobbs is almost a little Carson Wentz in the sense I think he's going to wow coaches and scouts, you know, talking to them in the film room because he's such a cerebral guy. He was an aerospace engineer or whatever the exact name of his major was. So I could see him, you know, as a good athlete, a good arm, you know, teams really falling for him and thinking we can work with this guy because he's so easy to work with.
You know, more than anything, give us a reason to definitely tune in and watch the Gruden quarterback camps, right?
Right. We haven't had to do that for a long time. They were there just for pleasure. Now they're important.
Yeah, and I believe I know Mahomes will be part of that, and I think Dobbs was listed as one as well, too. I thought I saw that. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure. But both these guys are strong-armed guys, though, right?
Yeah, and the Steelers have that vertical attack, and they definitely – I mean, Mahomes, I think, has the strongest arm of anybody in this class, and Dobbs is definitely serviceable as well. So those are – I think you got three quarterbacks in the mix. I know Davis Webb was supposed to come in. I don't think it's going to happen, to be honest with you. But I think you have three quarterbacks. You have Mahomes, which would be your pick 30 guy if he gets there, which is still no guarantee. He's all over the map depending on who you talk to. You have Dobbs, who I think is a third to fourth round pick. And you have Brad Kaya, who I think would be, again, that third round comp pick. Those are probably the three guys the Steelers have shown the most interest in and the three guys that I would keep in mind for day one and day two of the draft.
All right. The very next day after those guys came in, the Steelers brought in Derek Rivers, Takaris McKinley, Monte Nicholson out of Michigan State, a safety who, being as how he's from the area there, he's a local visit and won't count against the 30. Jordan Lewis, a guy we've talked about quite a bit, cornerback out of Michigan, the guy with the domestic violence charges or pending against him right now as well. I guess I mean we've known. That McKinley's was going to come in for a while. It's not surprising that Derek Rivers was brought in. Nicholson really that wasn't on my radar, but Jordan Lewis, you can understand why they brought him in.
Right, and that's part of the pre-draft process. Is it's not always. I mean, it's anytime you're going to bring these guys in, you have interest, but part of it is you need to get more information. That's why sometimes Artie Burns or Bud Dupree weren't brought in because you had all the information. You didn't have to talk to him again. You've talked to him enough. You're comfortable with him. For the guys you're not sure of, not comfortable with, you bring in, you talk, and you get that one-on-one setting you just can't get anywhere else. That's Jordan Lewis, who of course, where I'm sure most draft people know by now, has a domestic violence charge against him. It's going through the court case right now. I'm not going to speculate on the outcome of that, but that's a guy you need to get more information on because he, without that, could be probably the second best slot guy in this draft class with the ability to play outside. He's a great tackler, had a really solid career at Michigan. So that's a guy you got to find more about. Nicholson, if it's a local pick, then it doesn't really move the needle too much. They met with him at the combine as well, so it's not a huge surprise there. Tack, who we knew was coming in, and then Rivers, like you said, no surprise because Youngstown State's pro day, Tomlin and Colbert were in Pittsburgh because that was the same day as Dont'a Hightower coming in for his free agency tour. So they couldn't go to Rivers if they wanted to. So no surprise to see him come into Pittsburgh.
But Joey Porter was there with Rivers at Youngstown State. Before I talk a little bit more about Rivers and McKinley, I want to talk a little bit more about Jordan Lewis. Now, look, we don't know what really happened there, but I can guarantee that the Steelers – are digging in deep into trying to find out what may have happened with that situation with him. Look, they went to that pro day at Michigan. Is there a possibility, they supposedly met or had dinner with Taco Charlton and Chris Wormley? I wonder how much of that dinner conversation included questions about Jordan Lewis.
Yeah, I think maybe that you get a little bit of that. I think, again, you know, being able to talk to teammates and talking to coaches, you get a feel for what kind of person some of these other guys are. So I imagine it came up maybe for a question or two.
And you got to remember, the Steelers are a team that in the past have been known to kind of want to take chances on some players. And in the second round of that, just go back and look at Mike Adams a few years ago there. So, you know, if Jordan Lewis, if things check out with him, is this a guy that could potentially be the second round guy?
Yeah, I don't say it's impossible because the talent's there. Hopefully there's more clarity, you know, with his domestic issue before the draft. I don't know if that's going to happen because, you know, the court system can get so tied up and you just never know when things are going to get resolved or any extra clarity. You know, you make a good point about Mike Adams, but the Steelers also took him off their board, and, you know, Adams ended up writing to every team and trying to, you know, make his case. So if you want to play devil's advocate, you could say the Steelers had Adams off the board for a much more minor infraction. So I don't know. I don't know if the odds are great because, you know, if this thing's unresolved, it's hard to imagine Lewis going in the second round. You know, if you just don't know what's going to happen, any league implications, any obviously, you know, criminal implications to it. So I don't think the odds are high, but if this does get resolved and let's say the Chargers are dropped or whatever, you know, something like that, then he might come back and play as that day two pick.
He's got a lot of boxes checked. I mean, outside of that off the field problem, right?
Yeah, no, he was a strong prospect. Like I said, you know, because when you look at the cornerback class, you can't just say who are the top corners. You know, you have to stratify it and say who's outside guy, who's a slot guy, because the slot guy's, you know, so important. He's going to play 70-75% of the time. And that's what Lewis could do. You know, I think he's probably the second best slot option just on the field behind probably Trey White. But he has played outside before. He's got good hands. He had one of the most spectacular interceptions of college football this past year against Wisconsin, that diving one-handed interception to seal the win. So he was an impressive prospect, and obviously this domestic issue came up, and, you know, that could really drop him for obvious and justified reasons. So we'll just have to see if we get any sort of resolution here in the next, you know, 3 weeks before the draft.
Was he a captain at Michigan? I forgot to look that up. I don't think he was.
I don't remember, to be honest.
But I mean, he's got a lot of boxes checked, you know.
He's a good athlete. He's physical. He's a playmaker, or at least he's had the ability. I don't know if his interception numbers were super high, but he's made big plays before.
All right, back to Derek Rivers. You could go through the list of top 100 players, you know, from maybe some of the rankings of the major media. And you could probably say, man, there's a lot of differences in X player, you know, of where they think they will go. But I think it when it comes to a guy like Derek Rivers, and I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Why does it seem like, you know, we're round one to round three with Derek Rivers?
That's a good question. I think partially because the edge class is so deep and it could push some guys down. It's funny you mentioned that he's all over the map. Matt Miller from Bleacher Report put up his mock draft today, and I believe he doesn't have Rivers in the first two rounds. I don't believe he has Carl Lawson in the first two rounds either, so maybe he's totally in a different direction. But I think a lot of it, you know, small school guys are tough to judge. That can hurt you a little bit. And I think the edge class is so deep. But you know my thoughts, Dave, and I think we're pretty similar. I think Rivers is a top 40 talent. I think he should get drafted as such, and I don't think he's going to fall out of the – you know, I think he's going to be a top 50 pick.
I think he's going to be a top 50 pick as well, too. And I think I've said this right from the get-go, and remember, I got a late start on this, mm-hmm. You know, later than normal because of the Steelers season. But, you know, right from the get-go, and this is no slight on Derek Rivers whatsoever. I just didn't view him as a – I definitely didn't see him initially as a top 25 guy. Mm-hmm. Borderline initially first round guy, and then the more I dug into the rest of the edges and more into Derek Rivers, I mean, he's definitely, in my opinion, a top 50 guy, but I guess I wouldn't be surprised if he's drafted in the first round late, you know, and obviously by late it would end up probably being the Steelers at you know, 30 overall. But I'm not going to be surprised if he falls out of the first round, you know, completely with him. But, I mean, Todd McShay, I think it was Adam Schefter who posted a picture of McShay's big board, if you will, on Twitter yesterday. I don't know if you saw that. It was kind of hard to see, you know, in my old age with my bad eyes, where some of those guys are. I tried to zoom in on it, but it looked like he had Rivers in the third round, and I think he had Lawson in the third round as well. So, I mean, it just goes to show you that that's one guy that you can circle in Derek Rivers that really the discrepancy, I mean, the production's there. There's no doubt the production there. And really the tape for the most part against the competition that he faced is there too. And I think a lot of it has to do with the small school syndrome with him. And he's a little slight, right?
Yeah, he's like 248. I think that's decent.
Yeah, you know, I don't think he's a third round guy, but I don't think he's a first round guy. So what does that leave us?
Yeah, he's probably gonna be a second round. I didn't realize. So McShay had him in the third, and he had Lawson in the third.
If I looked at that picture right, Alex, and I think that's what he had with those great guys on his big board there. So
So Matt Miller had the same. So I wonder if someone's hearing something about those guys.
Yeah, and look, we got 3 weeks to wait to know the answer to that. But you know, Rivers is definitely a guy on the Steelers' radar, and you know, for obvious reasons. Takaris McKinley, probably not surprising that he was brought in. You know, had that shoulder surgery. They probably wanted to, you know, get another good look at his medicals as well, see how he's progressing. I don't know what you how you feel overall at this point about McKinley, but to me, I'm kind of hoping that's not the guy at 30.
Yeah, no, I agree. I know we've discussed that before. So let me ask you this, Dave. I mean, do you think he's a serious contender for 30? Because I don't want him to be the forgotten guy here just because we don't like him. It doesn't mean the Steelers can't take him. But do you think he's a candidate for 30 if we think that Rivers is not going to be the candidate and Lawson now might not be either?
Well, you know, I like to try to connect as many dots. I think he's a potential first round guy. Now, does that mean first round guy for the Steelers? I wish we knew for sure whether or not Colbert was at his pro day, you know.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, there's been no reports that he was. It doesn't mean that he wasn't, though. I can't remember what was going on that you know, that same day if Colbert, you know, obviously can't be in two places at one time. But
let me try to look that up.
It just with all that's going on with McKinley and with the shoulder, you know, that's kind of troublesome as well too. You can't rule him out. I guess that's the best thing for me to say. You can't rule him out.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was March 21st was the pro day, and Colbert was at North Carolina, so he was definitely not at UCLA.
All right, can't be in two places, especially that far apart at one time.
especially that far apart. I like that you think if they're close, there's a chance he could be there.
Oh, yeah, look, I mean, you got a private plane if you're close. You can get there in an afternoon or whatnot. But, all right, let's see. Following up after the 4th on the 5th, we had another group of players in, a couple that we knew were coming. Josh Jones, a safety out of North Carolina State, a guy I think you're kind of high on. Chris Godwin, a guy that we knew was coming to town, wide receiver out of Penn State. Todd Haley was at his pro day. There seems to be a lot of interest there. Jared Davis, an inside linebacker prospect, another guy that you like, a guy that has a lot of boxes checked as well, too. Colbert at that pro day. I believe who was the inside linebacker's coach? Jerry Olsowski was there as well, too. A guy that really fits what the Steelers do, or think we think they want to do with an inside linebacker, good enough to be 30th overall.
Yes, absolutely, no doubt in my mind. And you know, just in the last, I feel like 24 to 48 hours, I'm seeing big media guys talking about Jared Davis in the first round. And I bet you some people are going to eventually get around to dock connecting in Pittsburgh. Now, I've talked about Vince Williams and how confident I am in him, and I don't change my stance on that one bit. But I recognize that Williams is still not going to be the best option on third down, and you still have to find your third down cover guy, whether that's your hybrid player like a Melon Fonwu or whoever. Or if you wanted to go the other route, you know, like I said, they had interest in Hightower because he, in their eyes, was an elite guy. In my eyes, Jared Davis can be an elite guy. I think he can be the next Lawrence Timmons. He ran 4.58 to 4.6 at Florida's Pro Day. He jumped 38.5 inches. His broad was over 10 feet. He's a really strong athlete, both sideline to sideline and in coverage, being able to match and carry number three or the Y down the seam. You turn on the Vanderbilt game, you'll see that. Twice. He does it on once on third and 10 to get off the field, and another one where he tips the pass and has the game-winning interception from the safety, whoever it was. So, you know, I think Davis is the one guy I would look at and say, you know, this can be a much better option than Vince Williams, who can give you that extra element that Williams isn't going to be able to do quite as well. And I think that, you know, he's not impossible for him to be the 30th pick.
We've seen inside linebackers over the years – kind of like guards get the shaft when it comes to the first round. So you better be ultra athletic, and Davis is that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, if you're going to make it into, you know, I think guys who are the inside linebacker guys that are going in the first round. Foster, right?
Yeah, Reuben Foster will probably be a top 10 pick.
Then the kid out of Temple, Hassan Reddick, who, I mean, edge.
Yeah, he's a whatever you need him to be, basically.
Right, and then, you know, would Davis be the other one?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Foster's going to be the top. You're going to have Reddick be whoever, you know, you need him to be, 4-3, Will, 3-4 edge, 3-4 inside, doesn't really matter. Davis probably be third, and then after that you have Raekwon McMillan from Ohio State, Zach Cunningham from Vanderbilt. Those are probably going to be your next two guys, but I don't think anyone sees those two as first-round picks.
And Godwin, he measures up according to your post, right?
Yeah, Chris Godwin. He just missed. I think his three cone was literally like a hundredth of a second short. I forget the exact. I don't have the post in front of me, but obvious interest in him. Todd Haley at Penn State's pro day. You know, for anyone asking, I don't believe he's a local visit. I know that it's Penn State, but I, you know, basically for it to be a local visit is wherever the dude went to college or high school, you have to be in the metro area. And I looked it up, and Pro Football Talk had the article on it from a couple of years ago that the NFL uses a specific guide about what's considered Pittsburgh's metro. But I can't imagine anyone thinks Penn State is Pittsburgh metro. So I don't consider it a local visit until someone tells me otherwise. But yeah, Godwin, of course, yeah, he had a great combine. I think he ran 4.42 at 6 foot, whatever he is, 200 plus. So again, there's that Z-type receiver who the Steelers are going to be interested in.
Yeah, and I think the league released something about a 50 miles or something as well, too, in a recent update on there. But Penn State's more than 50 miles away, right?
Oh, yeah. It's from Pittsburgh. I mean, you're talking two and a half hours to state college. I mean, that's middle of the state. So I can't imagine that's local. And
yeah.
Godwin didn't go, you know, to Gateway like Nicholson did.
Yeah, most definitely. But, I mean, definitely a guy. Is he – I can't see Godwin being on the board in the third, but I view him as a second to third round guy.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. Yeah, maybe that's too high for Pittsburgh, but we'll see. Still waiting on Mark Davis Bryant. We'll see if that comes before the draft.
And the other two visitors that we failed to mention, James Conner, who is a local visit, more of a day three guy. You know, people listening to this podcast probably don't need any additional information on who and what James Conner is. Buda Baker. Kind of an interesting name, safety out of Washington, a guy that's expected really to many feel that he's going to be off the board by the time the Steelers pick 30th overall.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch more of Buda Baker. I mean, he's a, you know, free safety slot type. He's undersized. I forget his exact height, weight, 6 foot, 195, somewhere in that range. From what people have said, he's definitely physical and he can tackle. He's just obviously going to be undersized. So I'm trying to think how he would fit in this defense, and, you know, would they move him to slot, and could they, is that how they view him as a slot option? That might make a good deal of sense. But I got to dive into his tape some more, because I mean, I've watched, you know, Kevin King and Joe Mathis, haven't gone around to Buda Baker yet.
All right, any final thoughts on I believe we covered all the pre-draft visits now, and I guess officially that's what, 11, even mm-hmm. though 13 have been brought in, right? But 11 out of area guys, right?
Yeah, I think 14 total have been brought in, but 11.
I forgot Orndorff, Orndorff, the tight end out of Pittsburgh. That's another local visit as well.
Yeah, and reportedly, you know, from reports, there's supposed to be four other guys who are supposed to come in: Mellon Fonwu, McMillan from Ohio State, Davis Webb, and Gervancy Jones. We'll see on Jones. I was told by a source that Jones was supposed to come in this past week. That obviously didn't happen, so I don't know if that got canceled or pushed back or whatever, but we'll see Gervancy Jones, the outside linebacker from Jackson State, if he comes in this upcoming week.
That's why we carefully label these reportedly scheduled.
Mm-hmm, right.
Because you never... they haven't visited until they visited.
Exactly. And I'm very happy that basically every team is very open about, and it's, Pittsburgh especially, is very open about guys that come in and they announce the pre-draft visits when they happen. I appreciate that at least.
Yeah, it makes it easier to track. That's for damn sure when it comes to that. Okay, before we transition here, hey, Steelers Nation, mortgage rates are currently at near all-time lows. If you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, refinance, contact our buddy Craig Oxane from First Advantage Mortgage. He's a lifelong Steelers fan, a Pittsburgh native. Craig is a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help out Terrible Podcast listeners. Call Craig Oxane today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Or you can just email Craig. Email him at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. Some other kind of minor news to pass along that's transpired this week. Chris Hubbard decided to go ahead and sign his one-year restricted tender. That'll pay him almost $1.8 million in 2017. He could have waited a couple more weeks. The deadline is April 21st for that. He probably said, "Look, I'm not getting an offer sheet right now at this point." Who knows? Maybe the Steelers put the clamps on him a little bit. Says, "Look, you better sign this thing, or else we're going to pull it from you." I'm not saying that's what happened, but we've seen other teams take that course of action before. So regardless, he will be. He'll be back in, you know, in training camp. One would think, as we sit here right now, he has a good shot at making the final 53-man roster once again. However, I wouldn't bet your house on it.
Yeah, no, it's not a lock, but, you know, I think the offensive line is pretty much set. I think it's going to be obviously a very low investment during the draft. You're going to see a couple undrafted guys come in, but really no undrafted guy is going to beat out Hubbard, because Hubbard's calling card is that versatility, the comfort the Steelers have, and Hubbard playing theoretically all five spots, hopefully not center, but basically anything else, you know, they would do comfortably, and no rookie's going to be able to earn that trust in such a short span and learn each spot, even if they had a versatile background in college. So I think Hubbard's got, you know, 80%, if I had to throw an arbitrary number at it, you know, making this roster.
Yeah, I would go with that as well, too. Boy, those three games that he started in place of Marcus Gilbert, I think that really helped his cause. Mm-hmm. He surprised me in those games. Really did.
Yeah, no, he was really solid. And like you said, I think that probably gave the team a lot of confidence that he's a guy that can, you know, fill in, plug the holes whenever needed.
Okay, what else do we have on the news wire that has transpired that I might have forgot that we need to go over?
I think that's about it. I think that's basically everything. We've been so draft heavy, and I know that you finally have your second mock draft, and I know you hate them, but they're always so good, Dave, so I don't know why you hate them so much.
Nah, it's time for you to mock my mock draft. We need some theme music here or something. Mock the mock draft. I do hate doing these, and I always feel like I don't have enough information. You know, A. Mm-hmm. B, mock drafts are such a losing proposition. You're not going to please everybody with your mock draft. People love to tell you that if you could guarantee me that the entire conversation would be nothing about the players, you know, nothing but talk about the players and not, oh, he won't be there, or that's too low, or that's too high. If you could guarantee me that the entire conversation was going to be about the player, maybe I'd be more apt to, or look forward to doing them more. But I mean, look, it's a matter of opinion with these. I obviously don't use the mock draft simulators for a lot of the reasons why. You know, I'm kind of hypocritical here, because sometimes you get to some of these things and, oh, why the hell is Derek Rivers still on the board here in the third round when I'm picking? You know, type of things. And also, you have to. Sometimes I question what they view other team needs will be. So I've always been old school when it comes to my mock drafts and thinking, and let me put it out there. I always try to do these with what I think the Steelers will do, not right. What I would do. If it was up to me, I'd draft 8 edge rushers and then, Art Rooney would fire me quickly after that. So, you know, I always try to make them what I view as realistic as as educated guess as I can, and then go from there. So without the formal apologies ahead of time, you know, I guess we can start kind of go through this, and it's probably easy to see why I went Tre'Davious White with my first pick, right?
Right, because this was post LSU Pro Day, and when we knew that Colbert and Tomlin and Carnell Lake were there, you know, that makes you feel a lot more comfortable based on our conversations about, you know, if whoever the Steelers draft in the first round, Tomlin and or Colbert have to be there. So I love this pick, Dave. No one's talking about it. This could be the Artie Burns selection, where you're still 3 weeks out and no one's really brought him up, and then a week before the draft, you start getting some buzz on him. I think he could be a potential day one starter in the slot, which is tough to do, no doubt about it, but I think he can do it. He's got great feet. He's a good tackler. He's got really strong straight line speed. I think a 4.47 officially. So, you know, I think he was a captain, as you point out. I mean, I think he checks. What box doesn't he check? You know, I guess the only thing is, you know, I know David Todd has talked about, and obviously the Steelers have gravitated towards those big 6-foot-plus long cornerbacks. White isn't that guy, but he's 5'11", you know, almost 195 pounds. That's not small.
Right. I mean, I think the only thing, look, he's got the experience. He was a team captain. The Steelers met with him at the combine. The Steelers met with him at the Senior Bowl. He didn't play in the Senior Bowl, right? He had an ankle or something.
He got a couple practices and then he bowed out like halfway through.
Right, and I think it was an ankle or something like that. I remember reading on him. They were, you know, the whole crew was there. We don't know if Keith Butler was there at the pro day. It wouldn't be surprising if he was, and it just didn't go, you know, reported there. But Carnell Lake was there, Colbert, Tomlin, the whole gang was there. What other box has he? I think that's pretty much all the boxes. He had his spark number was over 100. Now it wasn't. I think it's a couple of ticks below what Artie Burns was. I think the only real box that he doesn't check is the uber athletic 120, 130 spark score. But even then, you know, look back at last year and Artie Burns wasn't uber, you know, 130 spark, you know, but it is over 100 with him. You know, I talked about, I forget if it was the last show we did or if it was a week ago, about how I like to watch these combine interviews with these guys. And people probably say, Dave, shut up about this. You know, it only matters what a kid does, you know, on the field, not how good he is with the media. I think when it comes to the Steelers, they you know, they want good kids. And I went for anybody who wants to see it. I think it's on the Minnesota Vikings team website. They have his whole entire combine interview, and you watch that, and you can't help but like this kid. I mean, very well spoken, just downright honest. You know, it comes off very honest, smart. Just the whole interview. I think it's 8-something minutes long. If any of you listening get a chance, Google that and watch it, and you know, see if he has kind of that infectious personality. And you could kind of see him being the first round pick. Now, with all that said, what does his tape say? I'm still going through it fairly heavily. I'm going, you know, he's going to be one of the next guys that I compile all of his interceptions and pass breakups. And and there wasn't a lot of interceptions, but there were a whole hell of a lot of pass breakups dating back, you know, through his 4 years of school. With all that said, you know, a lot of people are trying to say, well, maybe White's going to be one of the top three corners off the board. I don't think so, Alex. I think he's that borderline number four, number fifth cornerback in this class. Would you kind of concur with that, or no, or do you view him as, you know, top three?
No, I think, I mean, it's hard to rank it, and I don't know how guys are going to go, but I think he'll be in that 30 range. Like, he'll be there because you're going to have your top guys, Lattimore, Conley, Humphrey from Alabama. I think a lot of people are going to like Kevin King because he's the new age corner, the 6'3", that can run 4'4", kind of guy. So I think that White will be right there around 30.
I think he'll be on the board as well, too. Now, with that said, it would not surprise me if he did, you know, you picking that late. It wouldn't surprise me if he did dip down into the second round. Mm-hmm. However, I wouldn't think he's a guy that would be on the board come time for the Steelers pick again, right. You know, in the second there. And no way, shape, or form am I trying to sell White, you know, to you or to the listeners. But when it comes to talking about, let's call it leaders in the clubhouse, he's not, if he's not the leader in the clubhouse right now, he's tied for the lead. He's in the clubhouse with under par, and what a perfect time to do that with the Masters going on right now. But I mean, you would agree with that. I mean, he's checked a lot of pretty much all the boxes, and you have to strongly consider him as possibly being the guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I go as far to say he's the leader in the clubhouse, because I just don't know who the leader is right now. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I think he's definitely in the mix. And you just try to find reasons against, and I don't have a whole lot of good reasons against. I think you made, Dave, an excellent point about, you know, taking good kids and high character guys that have overcome a lot in the first round, because the first round, you're just trying to minimize the amount of risk involved because it is such a high investment pick. And I mean, you go down through the list here of the last several years: Artie Burns, Bud Dupree, Ryan Shazier, Jarvis Jones, David DeCastro, Cam Hayward. There's no bad kid there. None of those guys had any sort of issues character-wise coming out of school. All guys that, you know, had backstories of overcoming, you know, hardship. You know, Artie Burns, obviously, coming out of Miami. Cam Hayward, the death of his dad. You know, the list goes on and on. And so, you know, I think Trey White, you know, having that reputation as a captain, as a leader, with really no negative off-the-field marks that I'm aware of, makes a lot of sense and really helps his case.
Oh, he can return punts, too.
Well, in Pittsburgh, I don't think he's going to do that. But nice thought.
All right. Second round. A little bit of I don't know how, if this shocked you or not. I am a big Carl Lawson fan. I am a Carl Lawson truther, if you will. I like Carl Lawson. But with that said, the deeper I've gotten into this process and learning about the other edge rushers in this class and digging deeper into Carl Lawson's film and all, personally, I don't think Carl Lawson, no longer do I think he's a first round maybe talent, depending on the class, but I don't think he's going to be a first round player. Now, I have kind of propaganded, if that's a word, the fact that this class is so deep that, you know, three of these guys, at least, I'm talking about Lawson, Watt, and Derek Rivers, I think there's a great shot all three of those guys find their way into the second round. Okay. Yeah. Now, I think one of those three, there's a chance that they might be on the board come the Steelers' second round pick. And I don't think it's going to be Rivers. Then that leaves us with Watt and Lawson. Watt, just a little raw, you know, but definitely has the pedigree and you know the athleticism and the tape, you know, inexperienced obviously. I think there's a chance he doesn't fall either. So that kind of left me with Lawson as maybe. Now, I wouldn't bet my house on it, but maybe being the guy that drops to the Steelers in the second round.
You know, we've discussed this before, that it's not impossible because of the injury history. And, you know, I try to learn from mistakes and things I get wrong. And anytime you're involved with draft talk, because there's so much speculation and it's so hard to get a feel for what's going to happen, is you have to realize you're going to be wrong, but you want to look at what you get wrong. And obviously, I was wrong on Andrew Billings last year. So
I was holding hands with you.
Right, yeah, a lot of people that thought he was going to be a high pick, and he wasn't. So why was that? Well, people were – I think there was maybe some injury history concern there. And, you know, did people think that he was enough of a dominant pass rusher? And so Lawson, you know, you are worried about the lack of production, maybe not as a pass rusher, but just overall the lack of tackles, lack of involvement in the run game. Could that be an issue? Obviously, there's an injury history component to it. Now, the fact he played in 2016 makes me feel a whole lot better. But, you know, that's a lot of things to check out, the ACL, the hip. I don't know if he was a combine medical recheck guy. That's coming up. I don't know if we're going to find out that or not, but I'm going to pay attention to it. So, you know, I get it. I don't know if I agree with it, but I definitely get it. And I think the other thing I'll say on this is the reason why, you know, I don't put myself in a box of the Steelers have to take X position and X round, because I think that's a stupid way to go about it. But the reason to take cornerback or another position in the first round and wait on outside linebacker is, you know, if you take Lawson in the second round here, he's going to play right away because of the need at the position. And now you can get, let's say, a Trey White in the first, who can potentially, you know, I think strongly be a day one starter as well. So now you have two guys that can make immediate impacts. If you take the outside linebacker in the first, now you have to go, let's say, corner in the second. That second round guy might not be as ready as obviously a Trey White would have been. So I think that's the one reason to wait on outside linebacker, is finding a way to get another guy on the field day one, because you know whatever outside linebacker you're going to take is going to be able to do that.
And look, if you have Trey White on your draft board ranked higher than Carl Lawson, you have to take Trey White.
Yeah, if he's higher, you got to be true to your board.
You have to be true to your board. Now, with that said, you know, you might have Patrick Mahomes ranked ahead of both those guys. You don't have to take Patrick.
Yeah, don't be true to your board.
I always like to talk about where the axis of need meets best player available. And I think Colbert's fairly decent at that. And that's why I think there's a chance. Look, I strongly considered Tankersley with that first-round pick as well, right, too. I think Tankersley is being undervalued a little
bit.
Yeah,
those are the two corners that we have to talk about more, Tankersley and White.
I think so. I mean, it would not surprise me if you know, if Tankersley was on the board at 30 overall. Look, he's got a lot of boxes checked as well too. He's just a guy we just don't talk about because I think the masses don't view him as a top five corner in this year's draft class.
No, I agree, but if you talk about,
I think he is a top five corner personally.
And you're looking at man corners, you know, Tankersley's going to be near the top of your list because that's what he's best at. So, you know, I don't want to get too much into Tankersley, but that's someone to consider. Now, let me real quick, last thing on Lawson. I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat here. So you come out with your mock yesterday with Lawson in the late second round, and now McShay and Matt Miller don't have Lawson. Are you the informant, Dave, to McShay and Miller?
Am I the thing driving the process here?
Yeah, are they looking at you?
No, you know what? I had a realization. I go to bed about between 12 to 1 most nights, and I get up at
12 to 1 most nights.
So I get up at 3:45, 3:30 nearly every morning. Don't get a lot of sleep, but I was laying there thinking last night, staring at the ceiling, about, man, I finally have gotten to the point right now where I feel like I've got a grasp on this year's class. I mean, it's taken me up until this point to where I think, okay, you know, I can put the tape with the name now, you know, that kind of thing. And normally I like to say I'm able to do that, you know, 3 weeks ago. So that's how far I felt like I've been behind in this whole process. But no, I'm not the informant in all this. I'm guessing just like the rest of them out here. I learned something new every year when it comes to this process. And I just try to connect the dots the best way I can, like everybody else. And like I said, if it was up to me, I'd draft 8 edge guys and be and be done with it. All right, I guess we should start kind of moving along here. Round 3, I wanted a running back here. I thought about Perini out of Oklahoma. I thought about Mac, out of South Florida. I'm kind of stuck on Wayne Gallman, though. I think he's a carryover from my last draft. I'm open to this being one of, you know, several running backs here. Do you have an issue with Gallman?
No, I don't have an issue. I think it makes a lot of sense. The only thing I would say is, again, the Steelers just – I feel like they gravitate towards those backs that are a little bit bigger, a little bit heavier, and are going to be a little more powerful. So that's kind of why I lean towards the P. Ryan or, you know, James Conner could happen in the fourth round, even if I'm not crazy about him. Maybe a Marlon Mack or, you know, I was going to say Foreman, but I think his stock's up too high. So that would be my only issue with Gallman. But it makes sense.
Those would be the three that you'd consider there?
Yeah, maybe not that pick specifically, but I think in terms of the bigger backs, I think you're looking at P. Ryan from Oklahoma, Connor, you know, if Foreman were to fall to that 94th, then I think he's a really strong candidate. But I don't know. I have a gut feeling, and maybe this is just misplaced, but I think James Connor might be the guy in the fourth round.
Interesting. All right, the second pick in the third round. Boy, it's not hard to connect the dots with Marcus May out of Florida, right?
Yeah, you know, he played free safety, but he's a good wrap-up tackler. I worry about him in coverage, so I almost view him more as that strong safety mold. Again, this is a guy that you could maybe try to use year one as a hybrid player if that's what you end up wanting to do. He doesn't have the greatest size or length, but, you know, if you want to try to find ways to get him on the field. I like him. I don't love him, but I can definitely see the allure. He's a sure tackler, which is never a bad thing for a defense. Only thing I'll say is, and this is be the only time I'll say this for this mock, Dave, because I know you hate it. I just don't see him falling to 105. I think he's going to end up being that second round pick. So I know that's your pet peeve. I understand, but I had to say it.
Boo! All right. I can understand it. Yeah, I think the most, if you want to play a stat scout here, the one thing that really stuck out to me when reading about him on Pro Football Focus, only one missed tackle last season. As you mentioned, he did most of his dirty work near the line of scrimmage. Not sure I want him in a lot of man-to-man situations. I think if you are going to play him deep, you better be playing a lot of cover too, right?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about May in coverage, even though he played a lot of deep safety. I feel like he's going to be almost better in the box than he is going to be trying to, you know, play single high.
All right, round 4, the pick I hated to make the most, but I forced myself to make it, Brad Kaya.
I mean, you know, I had Kaya my last mock in the third round, so we're basically on the same page. You know, a lot of smoke with him, being able to meet with him at the combine, at the pro day, of course, meeting with him there. Kaya makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, and if you haven't read Sean's breakdown of him, there's no sense of us rehashing what's not right with Kaya. I mean, his game is full of flaws. He's probably the bottom end of that let's wait till next year line, you know, right around there. I hope I'm wrong on the Brad Kaya pick, but to me, there's enough smoke in trying to put this mock together. Basically, I apologize for putting Brad Kaya in there. I'm a George Kittle truther.
you are.
Round 5. I just love the kid, Alex. I can't wait. He's a very guy I go on and on about?
Jack Doyle?
Yeah, he's very Jack Doyle-ish. If that's an adjective, he's very, boy, I'm at a loss for names today. The old Indianapolis, Colts tight end, went to Iowa.
Dallas Clark?
Yeah, Dallas Clark.
Okay, I dig it.
very Dallas Clark-like, if you will. Now, he's had some bumps and bruises at Iowa. This guy, a tad bit undersized, but a ferocious blocker, man. You just, I love watching tight ends pancake people and put them on the ground, and his tape is absolutely full of them. He can stretch the field outside and inside the numbers. He wasn't used a lot in the passing game at Iowa, which probably isn't a huge surprise. I think he could be used. I think he could be a 20 to 30 catch guy at the NFL level, as even as a number two. He's obviously not as big as Matt Spaeth, but he's a better route runner, better, you know, he would be a great number two in Pittsburgh that could fill in and give you some number one snaps. God forbid that you need such a thing. So it's really hard for me to get away from Kittle right now if the Steelers were to take a tight end later in the draft.
Right. I can't disagree with a word of that, Dave. And the way that Kittle tested, I think, shocked everybody. So you look at someone that's a great athlete on paper, and obviously he's a great blocker on tape and has shown a little bit of that athleticism as well. Makes a lot of sense. You know, you and I are kind of alike, that I think the one position that might fall out of the equation in terms of the, you know, top, you know, day one, day two picks is tight end, because maybe they just roll with Jesse James, or they have enough confidence in him and can be hopeful enough all on Darius Green. I mean, you'd like to be able to take a tight end earlier, but eventually you have to make a decision on a position and say one has to fall back a little bit. So in my last mock, I had, I think, Michael Roberts in the sixth round. You have Kittle in the fifth. So, you know, maybe we'll see about tight end, but, you know, that might be a position that drops.
Yeah, look, I hope they take a tight end. I don't care who it is. I hope they do take one. I think this team needs more competition and more insurance at the position. Will it be a more athletic guy as opposed to a guy that's probably, you know, George Kittle's more old school than he is new age, but Kittle does have, you know, he showed on tape he can stretch the field a little bit. Now he's not Everett, he's not Ingram. You know, he's not that type of athlete. And there's some question whether or not how good he can be on special teams. I think he's got, you know, his blocking ability and his ferociousness would tell you that this guy will do anything that it takes to get on a field. So one would think he'd be able to adapt to a special teams role as well. All right, moving on. Another guy, probably, not a full-fledged draft crush, but a guy that I like, these late-round guys, these guys I think are undervalued. I was so glad to see this guy make your list, too. I'm talking about Robert Davis, the wide receiver out of Georgia State.
And it's no surprise he made the list, because he tested, you know, elite basically everywhere. I mean, he's 6'3", basically 219, who runs a 4.44, 41-inch vertical, 11.3 broad, 6.82 in the three-cone, bench 19 reps. I mean, that's elite. So I can't imagine any situation where he wouldn't make this list, because that's just top, you know. What's you have his mock draftable thing up? Yeah, you have his web. I mean, that looks really, really strong.
It's beautiful. I mean, you know what? Mock draftable and these webs. Boy, what a great, the only thing I wish they would do, and I tweeted the owner yesterday or the day before, it'd be nice if they would allow users to kind of create their own web and mix and match, you know, incomplete profiles, you know, some guys that don't do everything at the combine, you know, maybe, you know, plug in their own numbers, you know, from pro days or whatnot. He said he's willing to do that for any player on request, but, you know, when you're in a hurry to try to look to match somebody, some guy up, you don't have, you know, time to wait for him to go plug in the numbers and all, because sometimes you'd like to see these full webs side by side. It's a great tool. That Robert Davis web, if you knew nothing, if we were just going into this process, just starting right now, and I pulled this web out for you and showed it to you with Robert Davis, what would your initial thoughts be?
Let's say, how high in the first round is he going to go? That's what I'd say.
Exactly. And that's why you have to turn on the tape. This kid needs to learn how to run routes. He rounds things off at the top. He's got reliable hands. I'll give him that. I think he only dropped from doing some research like five or six balls, I think. Not a lot of drops there. A guy that can stretch the field. A guy that doesn't use his speed to his advantage to get separation. Clunky off the line. These wasted steps. You name it. That's why he's going to go in day three. Now, come draft time, it probably won't be surprising if a guy like Davis is not on the board at the sixth round. You know, I could see him creeping into the fifth round because there is a lot to work with right there. So this is a guy that I'll be watching closely. Boy, if he was in on, I would be fine if in the fifth round the Steelers went Kittle or Robert Davis. I think Robert Davis fits perfectly as my sixth round pick. Will they bring him in for a visit? I don't know. Is there any interest in him? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if there is either, but I certainly wouldn't be mad about it. You and the practice squad could be the Steelers, they reinvest in receiver because they do it so well, and that could be the next guy.
If Robert Davis is teachable, I'd like to see. I sure would pay to watch Richard Mann work with him for a year. You know.
Yeah, I mean, what a year of experience that would be for him.
Oh man, okay. Enough fawning over Robert Davis. I didn't have a clue where to go in the seventh round here. I ignored the inside linebacker position because I couldn't make it fit my mock early on. So, you know, it's not hard to kind of connect the early dots right now with Javonsi Jones out of Jackson State, who very well could go undrafted. Now, there's been a lot of buzz of late about Jones. With that said, though, I can't see him getting drafted ahead of the sixth round from where we sit and know right now. But, hey, why not Javonsi Jones?
Yeah, that's I think what I had in my mock too. Makes a lot of sense. You know, he's what 6'1", 240 or 245, was productive whenever he was out there. He's got a cool, you know, not cool, but I think a heartwarming backstory where he missed time this past year to take care of his mom, who was very sick. So that can make a lot of sense in the seventh round.
All right, any final thoughts on it?
I like it. I think it's really good. And, you know, we try to do the more – I know some people have asked us, and I know I will at some point, you know, a mock of what I would like to do. But we like to be more what would the Steelers do, because it's less about what we think and it's more about what the Steelers are more likely to do. And it's, I think, more fun to talk about what they are more likely to do and more interesting, because we all have our personal opinions about who we like and who we don't like. But come draft day, it doesn't really matter. You know, I'm more interested in, you know, what the Steelers seem to be inclined to do and what we know about them. Than what it is you or I like about our mocks. And I think we're similar in that thought.
Regardless of where I have these guys going in my mock, what would you put my chances at hitting at least one name?
I would say, like a 75% chance, because I think White, because of the interest in White, Lawson, the course of interest in, and I think Gallman makes, I think all these picks make sense. Most of them, the only one that, like, doesn't have a whole lot of reported interest in, I guess, maybe Robert Davis. That might be the one that makes sense on paper. It's not a whole lot of interest in. So I think there's a good chance you hit on one.
All right. What are the chances I hit two?
Is it like some sort of Price is Right game that I'm not aware of, Dave?
I mean, it's just so rare, you know, to be able to – I mean,
it is tough.
It's you know, people expect us to do these things, and is there an expectation for us to be right on these? I don't know.
Well, that's a great question to ask the listeners. You know, what are you expecting from this mock? I mean, you know, you want to be in the ballpark. You know, you don't want to be completely off the radar. I think that's definitely an expectation. And I think you like to see some, you know, one or two right. You know, that doesn't always happen. But, you know, I had that Bud Dupree pick back in 2 years ago. So, you know, you try to get maybe the top guy right, some guy in the late rounds right. And I think you'll walk away feeling pretty good if you can do that.
I hit three several years ago. The first three picks, I didn't have the order right, but I had Hayward right. I had who was in that one?
I'll pull it. I have it. Marcus Gilbert, Curtis Brown, Cortez Allen.
Yeah, I think that was the one. But I had them the second and third round pick wrong, I think, in that one. But I had the right players. I'll never do that again. I mean,
it's tough. I mean, because it's out of their control. You know, someone else takes Carl Lawson. Well, the Steelers can't take him. Means they still could have liked them, just off their board.
Right. You know? All it takes is you know, one team to like the player, one pick ahead type thing. Mm-hmm. But
like the Bengals last year, right. You know, in Jackson.
Regardless, it's a good exercise. I think, because it sits here, it forces us to talk about individual players and a few players that we might have considered, and I think that's the benefit of kind of doing these things. All right, so I get a slow clap from you, right?
A little golf clap.
All right.
For the Masters, yeah. There's my Masters time. I'm Jim Nansen. Hello, friends.
All right, unfortunately, we're running out of time. I was hoping to talk about why the internets hate Mike Mitchell. Because
they're the internets, that's why.
It was because they're the internets. But maybe we'll table that for a later show at some point. Alex, great show today. I appreciate you sitting in. And before we get out of here, let's give a shout-out. The mortgage process can sometimes be more challenging than getting two names right in your mock draft. Let Craig Oxane guide you through this sometimes daunting mortgage process to help you score the home of your dreams. Even in, where are we going today? Augusta, where the Masters is. You can tell I'm looking forward to watching the Masters today. If you're considering buying or refinancing a home now or in the future, please give our sponsor, Craig Oxane, a call. He's an experienced, nationally recognized lender that can help you achieve the dream of home ownership. Call Craig Oxane today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. You can email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at blackandgoldlending.com. First Advantage Mortgage Company, NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. Alex, once again, thanks for sitting in for David Todd. I think he's going to be back with me on Monday. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow my co-host David Todd at David M. Todd. Follow Alex Cazora at Alex_Cazora. You can email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Feel like donating to the cause, go to SteelersDepot.com. Find that donate button upper right navigational bar. And as always, thanks for listening to The Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.